Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
And after this, the Lord appointed 70 and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and every place where he was about to go. He told them the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. He also reminded them, hey, I'm sending you like lambs among wolves.
Turn the music up inside my session. These folks gotta hear my message. You put that beat on, I beat on this track to relieve my stresses. I see more trials than Cochran. Watch TV trying to box me. Them magazines ain't on my page, but ain't none of that gonna stop me.
Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. Whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. It's time for you to step up and live the calling of the Lord in your life.
I am the 70.
I am the 70.
Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, you got a hallelujah left in you? Come on, rattle the rafters. Let me hear you. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Glory to God. Y'all ready to get back into it? Let's stand together as we reverence the reading of his word. The spirit of revival is here. We've got our new summer apparel that's about to be released, and one of the shirts on the front says revival. Pastor Jeremiah and I were talking about it as we was getting with the creative team, and I'm just believing God for revival to strike this city and beyond. And testimonies that I'm getting again and again show me that revival is going beyond. I had a chance to meet a family last Wednesday after church that were here from Italy. And they've created a community right there in their home watching the live feed. I don't know if you guys are back yet, but where you are, we're blessed to be there. Hallelujah. Heard of a family, golly, I hear so many testimonies of families that are coming together and watching this live feed and creating community right there where they are. So wherever you are in the world, I mean, literally, I think our last observation showed that we were being logged in 53 different nations. And, amen. 53 different nations logging in to what's happening in Shreveport. Come on, somebody. Can anything good come out of Shreveport? The Word of God. Amen. So to those 53 nations, wherever you are around the world watching this live feed, can we give them a shout out right now? We love you guys. Be the 70. Be the 70 right where you are. Be the 70 right where you are. And we're going to talk more about what it means to be the 70. If you were here last week, if you would, just lift your hand. I was here last week. Well, that was most all of you. Okay, let's try it a different way. You didn't make last week. You weren't here for whatever reason. You didn't make last week. All right, good deal. Borrow the notes of your neighbor because we covered a lot. But let's go to the book of Luke, the 9th chapter. I want to give you a report. I've been struggling with my left foot since the beginning of May. You probably heard me mention it, and you might have been wondering why I don't stomp as much as I used to. And so I finally went and saw a specialist this week just to see what is going on with my foot, because it just couldn't figure out what it was. I knew it had been on the devil's neck for a long time. I just wasn't sure, you know, was that it? Come to find out that doctor came in, he said, you've been blessed with extra bones. He said, your feet have bones that aren't supposed to be there. I said, what you say? He said, you're not deformed because the one you got on your left foot, you got one just like it on your right foot. He showed me the x-ray. I started to bring it tonight to put it up on the screen, but I didn't want you getting that freaked out, you know. I didn't want you denying the word. Well, the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, because I got some ugly feet under there. I'm going to tell you, that's got to be in the realm of the spirit, because my feet wasn't right. So I got this added bone you're not supposed to have, and I fractured it. And it looks like I fractured it doing the stomp up here. Anyway, it's healed, but it created some problems with my tendons. And the doctor said, next 3 weeks, wear tennis shoes. I said, okay, I can do that. He said, Pastor, where's the tennis shoes? You just don't know. These things got a bottom just like tennis shoes. I'm doing good. So if you don't see me stomp, that's why. If you see me stomp, pray. Luke chapter 9, you there, say amen. We'll look at it beginning in verse number 1, Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. Let's read verse 1, Luke 9, ready? Read. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Read verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So notice some words here in verse 1 of Luke 9. Number 1, he called. Everybody say he called. Then the Bible says he gave them power. So he equipped. Everybody say he equipped. And then notice in verse 2, and he what? Sent. He sent. So he called, equipped, and sent. Say that. He called, equipped, and sent. We're going to show you in a minute in a review what happened there. But he didn't get the right results. So watch chapter 10. Turn over one chapter, chapter 10, verse number 1. After these things, and last week we looked at in the entire service what those things were. And if you were not here, please go get that CD, DVD, download the MP4 or whatever that is on our website. But get last week's message, because we talked about what happened in Luke 9 that led to chapter 10, where it says, after these things, notice what the Lord did. He appointed other 70. And I know there's some other Bible translations that say 72. Some even say 73. That's why I preach out of the King James 1611 Bible. It's got the original text right there. If you go back to the Old Testament, God gave Moses 70 elders. This was a picture of what God did for Moses. I don't know where anybody got 72 or 73. It was 70. 70 complements what happened in the Old Testament. So he appointed these 70. 70 is a number of wholeness. We might talk about that more later, but it represents wholeness. Wholeness. 7 is a number that represents completion, fulfillment. So he said, hey, you didn't do it. Let me call 70. It's going to get this thing right. It's going to be complete. It's going to be whole through these 70. And notice, he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. And you'll find in the following verses that he called and he equipped and he sent. Called, equipped, and sent. Say that out loud. Called, equipped, and sent. So when you hear about the 70, if you're here today and this is the first time you've ever heard a message about the 70 and wonder what this is all about, need big red t-shirts. The 70 are the called, the equipped, and the sent. The called, the equipped, and the sent. And I want you to know right now that you've been called and you've been equipped and you've been sent. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't graduate seminary, and that's quite all right. You've been called, you've been equipped, and you've been sent. And I know this is an equipping process, even being in this service, because you may say, Pastor, I just got baptized last month. You have been called, equipped, and sent. Pastor, this church thing's all new to me. Great. You've been called, equipped, and sent. Pastor, I'm only 13 years old. Hallelujah. You've been called, equipped, and sent. Pastor, I've had it wrong for 50 years, but I'm getting it right. Great. You've been called, equipped, and sent. Pastor, you just don't understand. I've been religious, but I got tired of religion. I came here tonight to see if it's different. You have been called, equipped, and sent. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about in this series. Called, equipped, and sent. We're going to make that the theme of this year's, at Word of God Academy this year. We're going to make that the theme of the school. Called, equipped, and sent. Graduating our first class this year at Word of God Academy. Yes. Called, equipped, and sent. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your spirit that has come to lead us into all truth. I pray, Father, for every person under the sound of my voice, wherever they are in the world. And I believe in this moment that you are calling us and that you are equipping us and that you are sending us. Father, I pray tonight for those that need to be sensitive to the call that you've put on their life, the call that's on them every day to be a living and vocal witness of your kingdom. Father, I pray for those of us that need to be sensitive to your call on us from day to day. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking. Father, I pray that you raise us up and equip us. May this service be an equipping. May this time in your word be an equipping for us to receive the power, to receive the authority, all that you have given us, Lord, mental, physical, spiritual, and financial blessing, equipping us to do what you've called us to do. And Father, I pray that we would be sensitive to your Spirit when you are sending us to minister, sending us to help, sending us, Lord, as ambassadors of Christ and ministers of salvation. Father, I ask tonight that we would receive revelation knowledge. May our eyes be open to see what we've never seen before. May we receive spiritual understanding, wisdom, spiritual conviction of truth. And Lord God, I ask that you speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your Spirit would speak by me, and that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that, Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And you may be seated. The 70, that's who you are, the 70. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, 70. You are the 70. Listen, if I had to compare the 70 to anything that I've received since I've been in ministry these 5+ years, it would be, and it's been, you know, a little long. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The only thing I could compare this to would be Aleph Tav. When the Lord really opened me up, opened my eyes to see what's going on in Luke 9 and 10, I would only compare that to the Aleph Tav revelation. That's how intense this is to me. I really believe that this is a word that God's going to use to shake things up for his kingdom in these last days. And I believe there's a drawing. This is probably the most I've ever seen. Look around the sanctuary. This is the most I've ever seen on a Wednesday night. This is Wednesday night in West Shreveport. Come on, somebody. Amen. This is not happening. We are here because the Lord is calling. You hear what I'm saying? He's calling, and he's not calling us to religion, and he's not calling us to a man, and he's not calling us to any other name but the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And there is a calling that is happening, not just in Shreveport and Bossier, but there is a call that is happening all across this world where people are ready to make it all about Jesus. They're recognizing they weren't saved to a religion. They weren't saved to some ritual. They were saved to a relationship with the Most High God. And I believe there are a lot of people that are ready to live their life with purpose, living out the purpose that God intended for them. Amen. And that's what this series is all about. It's about being called, equipped, and sent. So if you're taking notes, you want to put those three words down. Called, equipped, and sent. Left here last Wednesday, went to bed, could not stop thinking about the 70. I woke up the next morning, first thing on my mind was the 70. And through the night, couldn't sleep, got up thinking about the 70, started writing out the chapter headings for the book. I am the 70. God said, write it in a book. So I'm writing a book. I am the 70. Got out of church last Wednesday night. Our oldest son approached me in my office, tears in his eyes. He said, Daddy, I can't say I've ever gotten a vision from God or that I've ever, you know, received a revelation from God. He said, but I think I saw a vision tonight in church. I said, son, what was the vision you saw tonight? He said, I saw a conference called the 70 Conference. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And what I didn't tell him was is all that day, even on the way to church, I was seeing a conference called the 70 where we're calling people, equipping people, and sending people to go out and advance the kingdom of God. So I believe this is something that is God-breathed and God-ordained, and I do not believe it is by accident that you are here or that you're watching this live feed right now. I believe there is a mandate on your life. There is an agenda here, a kingdom agenda, that there's a call on your life to be a part of. You have to know right now inside your knower that you are not tuned in by accident, that you are not here because you're just here, but that you are part of the call. Even if you were invited here tonight by one of the 70, you didn't have to come. The person that invited you probably invited 10 other folk and didn't show up, but you were here because you were sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you answered the call. And I believe there's going to be some equipping that's going to happen in you tonight in Jesus' name, for his glory and for his kingdom. Now let's look here at Luke 9, and I want to go back and forth between Luke 9 and then Luke 10. We're going to talk about being called, equipped, and sent. And let's start here with the foundation in Luke 9. He called his 12 disciples. So if you're one that writes or takes notes in your Bible, highlight that word called. And he called his 12 disciples together. And notice then he gave them power and authority, or exousia is the Greek word. It means jurisdiction. He gave them authority, and that authority was over all devils to cure diseases. So they've been called, they've been equipped. Now watch verse 2, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. As you follow the verses down, and this is just a little quick review of last week where I spent almost an hour on this. If you go down to verse number 38, we find, and behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly, departing from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out. Read it. And they could not. Now, they had been called, equipped, and sent, but they're not getting the job done. There was no reason here why the 12 disciples didn't have authority over that demon. We already read that Jesus gave them the authority over evil spirits. Can you say amen? But they didn't get the job done. And I'm not trying to dishonor the disciples. We all miss it in order to make it. But right here, they're missing it because they didn't get the job done. Now, when you read on to verse 46, then there arose a reasoning among them. Read it. Which of them should be greatest? I don't know why they're having this discussion. You couldn't cast out a devil that you were given power to cast out. And now you're having an argument about which one's the greatest. The disciples in Luke 9 are missing it. And in my opinion, this is a picture of bad religion. It's not getting the job done, but sitting around arguing about what's best. Who's got the better doctrine? Who's got the better this? And who's got the better? I don't have time for all that. And we're looking at one another, talking about you anointed. No, you anointed. No, you anointed. You anointed. No, neither one of y'all anointed. Hush. We don't need this competition about who's the best and who's the cleanest and all this other stuff. We're not in a competition. This is all about our Father. It's all about his kingdom. So they're missing here. Now they couldn't cast out the devil. They were given power to cast out. Then they're arguing about who's the greatest. And then it gets worse. Go down to verse 49. And John answering said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. What we couldn't do. They didn't say that. And we forbade him. Read that out loud. And we forbade him, keep reading, because he followeth not with us. So the disciples were given power over all devils. A man comes with his son possessed. They couldn't cast the devil out. Weren't getting the results that they were equipped to get. Then they got into an argument about which one was the greatest. Then they found out somebody else is actually casting out devils, which they should have been doing. And so they told that man he had to stop because he wasn't a part of their denomination. No, I mean, it's kind of what they said here. They said, we told him to stop because he was not following with us. He didn't go to our church. So since you don't go to our church, or since you're not a part of our company, then you can't be exercising that kind of power. And the sad thing is they're stopping somebody else from actually doing, they're trying to stop somebody else from actually doing what they could have been or should have been doing themselves. See, to me, Luke 9 is a picture of bad, broken religion. So Jesus, in verse 50, had to correct the disciples and say, "Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." So let them folk be. Let them do what they do. And so then in verse 51, they still don't get it, because they go into a village that didn't want to receive Jesus. And there's some history there that we may talk about later on why they didn't receive Jesus. And so because they didn't receive Jesus, the disciples said in verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" So here's some folk in a village that didn't receive Jesus, and they said, "We need to destroy them." The answer to these people that will not receive Jesus is they need to be destroyed. We need to call down hell, fire, and brimstone, and we need to go ahead and get rid of this group right here because they won't do right. To me, that's another picture of bad religion that says, hey, if you don't get saved the day I think you ought to get saved, if you don't receive what I'm bringing the day I bring it, then you need to be destroyed. You've lost your only chance. But the word says one plants, another waters, and it is God that gives the increase. And you can't just condemn somebody because they didn't receive what you had to say the day you said it. I didn't receive the gospel when I first heard it. I ended up receiving it. My papa didn't get saved till his late 70s, drove a Sunday school bus at the age of 81, drove the thing just fine, but the community came in and said, "Look, got to stop papa from driving the school bus." He didn't bump into any mailboxes or bump into anybody. All was well, but they were worried about an 81-year-old driving a Sunday school bus. And if you ever saw him going down the road in his little white car, you would know why they want him off that bus. But he got saved late in life, and gave his life to the Lord. So there are folk that you may have already wanted to give up on, and they're 20, and you're talking about it's over when you didn't get saved, you were 38. So the disciples are saying, hey, if you won't accept our message when we delivered it, then you ought to be destroyed. And then Jesus had to correct that. Watch verse 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man," read it with me in verse 56, "for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Jesus didn't come to destroy. He said in John 10:10, it's the enemy that came to kill and to steal and to destroy. He said, "I've come to give you life and give it to it more abundantly." So instead of staying in that village that rejected him, because there was a village there that rejected Jesus, but instead of staying there in that village that had rejected him, notice what the Bible says they did in verse 56. Read the latter part. And they went to another village. Read that part again. And they went to another village. When you go to somebody and they don't receive the gospel, don't get mad and stay there and get into a debate and get into an argument. "Well, I bet you right now I'm right. I bet you ain't right." Listen, if they won't receive it, you planted the seed, go to another person, go to another village. But don't get in the wrong spirit and become competitive and take it personally when people don't receive the gospel that you bring them, because you don't know that seed you've just planted, another won't water and God will bring the increase. So they went on to another village. And so we're seeing here that the disciples are just having a bad 9 days there, because that whole ninth chapter lasted about 9 days. So that leads us to chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, read that part out loud. After these things, and I've just given you a brief summary of what the after these things were. But I feel like after these things, Jesus said, "I'm fed up with this. And so we got to do something else." And so watch what he does. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. He said, "Give me," and I feel like here he's calling 70 common men and women. He's calling seventy of the common man. They don't look like the 12. They're just commoners right off the street. "Hey, come here." They're like, "Hey, I'm coming." And he called them, and they answered the call. And we find that he then gave them the same power and sent them out two by two. And notice verse 1 where he sent them. before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Read that part out loud. Whether he himself would come. Now, watch the mindset that he wants them to have as they go. Verse 2, he says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So he's telling the 70, we need more of you. So as you go, be sensitive that we need more of you. The harvest is great. We just need more laborers. So the first thing that he tells them when he sends them is that, hey, we need more just like you. And so here we are 2,000 years later, and God is still calling the 70. And I'm calling the 70 anybody that would answer the call and allow God to equip them to be sent. Hallelujah. And notice now the 70 are literally being sent to preach the gospel, but not just preach the gospel, to fulfill the Great Commission so that they're raising up themselves other 70. So the 70 are raising up other 70, and the other 70 are raising up other 70. That's the commission that he's sending them to fulfill. And so Jesus is looking to increase the number of representatives of his kingdom. Now, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 20, says this, and I got a lot to cover, so put this one in your notes. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So in 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Bible says that we are ambassadors. And the 70 here are being sent out as ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative. A representative. You have to recognize, 70, that you can reach people that the guy sitting right next to you cannot reach. That you can reach people that the lady right behind you cannot reach. That you can reach people that James A. McManus will never be able to reach. That you are an ambassador of Christ, and we all have a unique ability to reach people with the gospel that could not otherwise be reached if we didn't do the reaching. So we've got to get out of this mindset that religion put us in, that unless you have been this, that, and the other, you can't be used by God. I want you to know that you can be used by God and will be used by God. And your history, no matter what it may look like, does not have to define your destiny. That's what folk told you, but it was a lie. I'm here to tell you right now that when Jesus calls you, he equips you. And when he equips you, he sends you. And when he sends you, you get results. And that's the kind of life that every one of us have been called to live. Hallelujah. So watch this here. He sends them out. He calls them, he equips them, and then he sends them. In verse 1, we get some insight to what it is we've actually been sent to achieve. Because he sent them, verse 1 says, into every city and place, read it with me, whether he himself would come. He sent them into every city and place whether he himself would come. That means he was saying, I want to go there, but I can't be but in one place at one time. So I'm sending you to go here because I would go there, but I can't be there and be over here where I need to be. And I need you to go there. I would go there too, but I can't be there and be there and be here. So I'm sending you to go there, and I'm sending you to go over there. I would go, but just like I said, I couldn't be there, and I couldn't be there and there at the same time. So I'm sending you. So he was sending the 70 as representatives or ambassadors. That's why he equipped them to get the results that he would have got had he been there. Come on, somebody. These were not message boys that went into villages and said, man, you ought to meet our Jesus. If he was here, he could resolve this right now. Oh, he's about 7 miles down the road. Dog, man, I wish he could have been here. No, they were representatives. They had been equipped with the same power that Jesus operated in. In this series, we're going to talk about the double portion and what it means to operate in the double portion, because I believe in the double portion of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of the double portion. When Elisha received the double portion of Elijah, he operated in the exact same power that Elijah operated in. He did the same exact miracles because he operated in the same power. When God in the Old Testament called Moses to bring forward 70 elders, this is what the Bible says about those 70 elders in the Old Testament. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. Listen very carefully, verse 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto them. And he, listen, and he took, hey, come on somebody, and he took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it to the 70 elders. Did you hear what I just read? The Lord came down in a cloud, spake unto him, took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it to the 70. Notice that in the old covenant, when God pulled Moses in that tabernacle and equipped him with his spirit to lead the children of Israel, he said, get me 70 men outside this tabernacle. Moses went out and called it 70 men. They got around that tabernacle. And the Bible says God took the same spirit that he gave Moses and he put it on the 70. And that's what he did right here in Luke 10. Just like we see in other cases where Jesus is mirroring Moses, because one is a type of the other. Moses' first miracle, he turned water into blood. Jesus' first miracle, he turned water into wine. They have these similar ministries. And so when Jesus calls his 70, he gives them the same power that was on him, just like God gave the 70 elders in Israel the same anointing that was on Moses. It was so they could represent, or let me say it this way, so they could represent. When the 70 went out, they went out with the same power that Jesus had. When the 70 went out, whatever Jesus could do, they could do. I know that messes a lot of folks' mind up, but you have to understand, Jesus didn't send them without equipping them. He called them, he equipped them, and he sent them. Say that out loud. He called them, he equipped them, and he sent them. I want you to know that when you've been called by God, you are equipped by God. That way, when you are sent by God, you get the right results that bring him glory. When we go without being equipped, we don't get the right results. He called them, he equipped them, and he sent them. Now, why do we make this big ado about the 70? Look at the end result in verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, read it, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They came back and they got results. They said, Lord, do you even know the power of your name? Do you even realize that when you're not even in the village, your name in the village is getting the same results? Jesus, do you realize you were not in that home? We went over to the Jones's house. You should have been there, Jesus. We didn't have you there, but we had your name. And we used your name in the Jones's house. And Lord, it was just like you were there. Demons departed. Salvation came to that house. They came back and they told Jesus, Lord, you got to know this. They were bragging on Jesus to Jesus. You better hear me. They were bragging on Jesus to Jesus. They were letting Jesus know what kind of results Jesus was getting when Jesus wasn't even there. You ain't hearing me. They were telling Jesus what kind of results Jesus was getting even though he wasn't there. They came back and gave the report. Jesus, do you know your name has power? Imagine going out and get such results that you go back to your prayer closet and say, Father, let me just say something. The name of your son gets results. Now, while the disciples were arguing about who's the best, the 70 were using the name of Jesus. They said Jesus is the best. When the disciples were telling other folks, stop casting out devils, the 70 are telling other laborers, you need to use this name too. You see the difference? There's a contrast between Luke 9 and Luke 10. Because in Luke 10, Jesus is showing what happens when you get 70 men together that understand the calling, the equipping, and the sending, and they came back and they got the right results. Jesus had to calm them down. He said, look, man, calm down. I watched Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He was trying to say from the very beginning, I've always had power over Satan. Satan ain't never had a day he had power over me, so ain't no sense in me rejoicing in it, because it ain't like I got the victory because I never got the defeat. Hey, I never had to regain the title because I never lost the title. I never had to go get the trophy. I always had it. So he sent them whether he himself would come. Now, let's talk about that for a minute, because this is kingdom. This is kingdom work. And this is what we must get an understanding of. And it's what he says here in verse number 8. Watch this, or verse 9. He says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So into every home they went into, notice what they said. Read it. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. They brought the kingdom to the people. They brought the kingdom to the people. I was out with some of our pastors yesterday. We were having lunch. Gentleman passed by. I hope you're here. And he stopped by the table to visit with us. And he had a prayer request. And we're at the restaurant. So Pastor Jeremiah says, well, let's pray right now. And he says, okay. And so I led us in prayer. We got together with the brother and we prayed. We prayed in faith right there in the restaurant. Now, we could have said, hey, man, be at church tomorrow night. We've got an altar ministry team. Come forward to the altar ministry team and they'll pray for you. And we do that because this is a house of prayer. Not taken away from that. But the 70 take the kingdom to the people. The 70 don't say, well, I'll pray for you when I get home tonight in my closet. The 70 don't say, well, I'm gonna tell my prayer group because we meet every Thursday morning. So next Thursday morning, I know it's Friday, but next Thursday at our prayer group, we're gonna bring, listen, there's a lot can happen between Friday and Thursday morning prayer group. And I'm not trying to knock your prayer group. Thank the Lord for your prayer group. Keep praying. But the 70 take the kingdom to wherever they go. They take it with them. They take it right there. My wife years ago, when this ministry started really growing, we would get approached in public and we'd have people, members and stuff stop us, television broadcasters. They'd say, hey, would you pray for my brother? Pray for my dad, pray for whoever. And my wife immediately said, well, let's pray right now. And it wouldn't matter if we're in Walmart or at the movie theater, it wouldn't matter where we at, pumping gas, it didn't matter. We just pray right then. And Chrissy always did it because she didn't want to tell somebody, I'm gonna pray for you, and then we forget to pray and be lying preachers. Because the church started growing and we might forget. So she said, James, every time somebody asks me for prayer, I'm just gonna do the praying right then. That way I know the praying got done. And I said, man, I'm gonna start doing that too. That's the way to do it. But it didn't hit me until reading this that that's taking the kingdom to the people. It's saying, listen, I'm gonna bring the kingdom right where you are. I'm bringing it to your home. I'll bring Jesus right where you are. I'll take Jesus to the office place. I'll take Jesus into the neighborhood. I take the kingdom wherever I go. Notice what he says here in verse number 9. He says that when you go into a place, say unto them, read it, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. 70, when you step in somebody's life, I want you to say, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. I want you to practice and rehearse saying that. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You might say, Pastor, that be arrogant? No, it ain't arrogant, it's Bible. Listen, we've been learning to pray, or been taught to pray since we were kids in Matthew 6 and 9, that we are to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Help me. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Living the kingdom mandate means wherever I go or wherever I'm at, I want to bring the kingdom of God into that location. What happens when I bring the kingdom of God into that location? I'm giving the king, Dom, D-O-M, I'm giving the king, Jesus, king, I'm giving him Dom, D-O-M, dominion. Dominion, where are y'all going? Why are y'all leaving right? About four or five y'all leaving right now. Y'all got somewhere to be? Where y'all going? Do y'all all need to go to the bathroom right now? Man, I want to bless y'all with some more word. Bless you with some more word. There you go. Hey, thank the Lord. They're going back. Woo! Hallelujah. He coming back too. Come on, somebody. There we go. Ain't nothing out there for you. And I'm going to have you out before pizza closes. Was y'all going to get something to eat? Y'all were going to get something to eat? That's where y'all were going? Because you stayed, I'm paying for your food tonight. Landon, you got any money on you? Go give that group up there. It's enough money to pay for all four of them wherever they're going tonight. It's on me because you did the right thing right there. Don't leave. You don't know what you might miss. You are the 70. You done got a standing ovation in church. Boom. And if I didn't love you, I'd let you walk right on out that door. But you've been called, and now you're getting equipped. And then you're going to be sent here in just a minute. Oh, we're going to be out here by midnight. They're going to land up there bringing them the money right now. My word is good. I'm stirred up. I'm not going to let you miss this. And I know exactly where I'm at because that was all the Holy Ghost right there. These 70 were representing the kingdom of God. They took the dominion of the kingdom. Landon, you sure got that money up there fast, man. There's a single man with money. That's what I'm talking about. My man. Stay single, brother. I'm just kidding. There's women out there that won't spend your money. It's just good. There's wonderful women out there. Now, notice there wasn't no women in that group, I don't think, by themselves. Okay, it might have been. All right, here we go now. Back to the word. When you go and you take the kingdom to people, you're taking the king's dominion right there. You're saying, I'm bringing the dominion of King Jesus into this atmosphere so that his will is done on earth just as it is in heaven. That's what it means to be an ambassador of the kingdom. This is representing the kingdom of God right where people are. That's what the city of Shreveport needs. That's what this nation needs. The church has got to get outside the four walls and reach people right where they're hurting. If we will go to where they are hurting, they will come back and gather with us. But they're not going to want to gather with us when we're not willing to go where they are. We've got to be willing to get out of our comfort zone and go to where the people are. The 70 are called, equipped, and what? Sent. We've got to stop making it where you've got to come to us. And we've got to say, I'll come right where you are. I will come to you. Remember, that's what the Good Samaritan did in Luke 10 to the man that was falling by the wayside. When the priest and the Levite passed by, Jesus, the Good Samaritan, the Bible says, journeyed where he was. The word journey means traveling with intent. We've got to be intentional about the things we do and be willing to reach people right where they are. Now, the reason many of us won't advance the kingdom in people's lives is because we don't realize that there is a sufficiency for the need of man already within us. Spiritually, mentally, physically, even financially. Because notice what Jesus says here in verse number 4. He says, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man, by the way. He said, don't pack. But the first thing he said was interesting. He said, you don't need to go withdraw your savings. Carry neither purse. Now, this is in Luke 10, verse 4. He so equipped them that he said, you don't even need to go get your purse. As a matter of fact, if you're one that writes in your Bibles, next to that verse, verse 4, I want you to write this verse down. Luke 22. Let me find the other verse. Well, I'm telling you, it's in there. Verse 35. Luke 22, verse 35. In Luke 22, verse 35, Jesus is talking to the 70. And this is what he says. He said, hey, do y'all remember when I sent you and told you not to take your purse? And they said, yeah, Lord, we remember that. He said, have you lacked anything? It's 12 chapters later. He said, have you lacked anything? They said, nothing, Lord. He said, go get your purse. You can have it now. I'd have made my case. What he was saying was is that when I send you on my equipping, I won't deplete your supply. I don't even need your stuff. When I send you, I equip you, and I will be the sufficiency you need when you're doing what I called you to do. Hallelujah. Say that loud. Called, equipped. So equipped that he said, leave your purse at home and go preach the kingdom. And I know it's not, you know, logical that we're just going to leave every day without our purse. But the mindset we've got to have is that when God calls you to do something, pretend your purse is at home. In other words, when you're ministering to somebody and the Holy Spirit says give them $40, you've got to leave your purse at home. And that means pull the $40 out, even if you think you need that $40, and you give it and you bless people because you recognize God's going to refund that $40 that just came out of my purse, because my purse really ain't my purse, because I left my purse at home. When I'm doing kingdom business, this purse is actually his purse. I'm operating out of his purse, not my purse. And when I'm operating out of his purse, this purse don't ever go broke. See the mindset? When you're doing what God's called you to do, you operate in the sufficiency that he's called you to operate in. See, that's a part of the equipping too. Hallelujah. Now, look at the representation. They're representing Jesus. They're representing the kingdom. And notice the results of this in verse number 16. Read it with me. And he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Look at the honor that they went in to the point that Jesus said, because you're saying what I'm saying, oh my God, because you're saying what I'm saying, I'm gonna treat what you say as I would if I said it, because you're saying what I'm saying. He said, he that hears you is actually hearing me, because you're in line with me. That means whoever rejects you is actually rejecting me, because I sent you. I had a situation, and I get this quite often. The ministry is huge. There's a lot of branches to this ministry. And I can't handle every single one of them. It'd be silly if I tried. That'd be unbiblical. But every once in a while, you'll have somebody to call, and they'll have a specific situation. And this was a situation happening recently, and it wasn't even a member of nothing. It was just an outside person wanted something. Well, we have somebody on staff that can handle that. And so I sent word, hey, call Pastor John. This is the man that can handle that thing you need. And so Pastor John made the call and was completely rejected. I'll only talk to the pastor. Well, then you ain't gonna talk. Because the reason why is because I have somebody in a position that can handle the thing you need. If you won't listen to the one I put in the position because you rejected him, you've rejected me. Now, some would say, that ain't right. He's supposed to take care of all that. No, I'm looking at what Jesus did. Jesus sent out 70 to places he couldn't get to. And he said, don't worry. If they reject you, they rejected me. But if they'll hear you, they heard me. Jesus is duplicating himself. He is branching himself out. And what you and I've got to recognize is that you got more power than you think you have. Because when you go in Jesus' name, you go in Jesus' power, and Jesus and God Almighty is saying, because you are operating under delegated authority, you're going to get the same results that I would have got if it were me. Now, put your bookmark here in Luke 10, and I'll be done in a minute. But come over with me to Revelation. Revelation, and I want to go to the 22nd chapter, Revelation chapter 22. That's a chapter we can all easily find. It's the last chapter in the book. So let's go to the end of the book. Revelation 22. Isn't it interesting that we'll honor man to get what man got? But we won't honor God to get what he has. See, when I line myself up with the Lord, when I line myself up with his word and live my life honorably under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and recognize delegated honor and delegated authority, and I honor him and I honor his word, he honors me. I want the honor that comes from God only. I'm living it. I see it. I don't want to live without it. I want to live with the honor that comes from God only, where God Almighty is endorsing my every act, my every move. He's showing me favor everywhere I go. I'm getting favor at the grocery store. I'm getting favor when I'm driving down the road. Stuff that should have happened didn't happen. I'm getting favor. He's aligning things up for me because I'm staying in line with him. I don't want to live disconnected from this honor. So Jesus said, as I send you, because I'm sending you and giving you what to say and giving you what to do, when they hear you, they're actually hearing me. And if they reject you, they've actually just rejected me. That's the kind of delegation he's given to you and I in the body of Christ. That's what he gave the 70. Now watch this in Revelation 22, and I'm going to show you the key to the effectiveness of the 70. Let's go to verse 17, Revelation 22. You there? Say amen. Amen. All right, watch this. Now read up to the first period in that verse. Ready? Read. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. All right, let's just hold on to that a minute. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Holy Spirit's always saying, come. Glory to God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Holy Spirit is always saying, come. We couldn't get saved if the Holy Spirit didn't say, come. No matter what you may look like, no matter what you've been through, no matter what your heart condition may be, the Holy Spirit is saying unto you, come. It's his will that you come to him. It is his will that you know him. The Spirit says, come. But notice what the bride is saying. And the bride is the church. The Spirit and the bride say, come. See, if the church would ever get in line with the Spirit and say what the Spirit's saying, then the church would get the results that the Spirit can get. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Look at the echo. The Spirit said, come. The church heard the Spirit, so the church said, come. Help me with that. The Spirit said, come. The church heard it, so they echoed it, and they said, come. See, the church has got to get in a position where we're echoing the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit says, we say. What Jesus said, we say. The disciples in Luke 12 got out of sync. They got out of harmony with Jesus. They heard of a man casting out a devil, and they said, stop. But Jesus gave power for him to do that. They went to a city that rejected Jesus. They wanted to burn it down. But Jesus wanted to save it. They were not becoming an echo of Jesus. They were saying stuff that was not in harmony with the Holy Spirit. They were saying stuff that was not in harmony with the heart of God. There are bad religious folk that have said things that are not in harmony with the Word of God, that are not in harmony with the Holy Spirit. And when the church is saying something that the Holy Spirit didn't say, when people are saying something that Jesus didn't say, then we're not going to get the right kind of results. If we want to really see the results, then we've got to stay in harmony with the Holy Spirit, stay in harmony with the Word of God. So watch this. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Watch this. Watch the echo. Watch the echo. Echo, echo, echo. Come, come, come. The Spirit said, come. The church said, come. Look at the echo. Watch this. And the Spirit and bride say, come. Read the rest. And let him that heareth say, come. So now notice the hearer needs to not only come, but get in the choir, get in the echo, get in harmony. Glory to God. Hey, the Holy Spirit said, come. Then the church said, come. And then those that heard the church say come said come. Notice what's happening. There is a movement that's taking place in the earth when watch this, when the church is echoing the Spirit, folk will begin to echo the church. And now there becomes this movement of revival because we're lining our mouths up with the will of God as it is in heaven, and it is infiltrating the earth. But listen, when the church or when disciples or when so-called Christians are not in harmony with the Holy Spirit and they're not saying what the Holy Spirit would say or saying what Jesus would say, then when they go into these homes, in these cities, into these villages, they misrepresent Jesus. Therefore, when the daddy comes with a boy that's possessed, they can't cast the devil out. Why? Because they were not in harmony with the one that sent them. When you are not in harmony with the one that sent you, then you are no longer equipped by the one that sent you. Therefore, you're not going to get the results that you were supposed to get. Not because you could not have gotten those results, but because you stopped being a representative of the one that sent you. In Luke 9, the disciples stopped representing Jesus and they started representing themselves. You're the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, you're the greatest. No, it's you. Who's that casting out devils over there? We just tried that and it didn't work. Stop him right now. He can't do that. That would make us look bad. We couldn't brag about being the greatest when that guy that doesn't wear our denominational tag is doing stuff we can't do. See, and then they wanted to destroy a city that wouldn't get saved. Jesus looked back and he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. What he was saying was, is you're no longer in harmony with me. You've gotten into harmony with something else. Therefore, you're not getting there. You're asking for results that I would never equip you to get. My God, you are asking for results that I would never equip you to get. They wanted to burn a city down because it wouldn't receive Jesus. Jesus saying, you're asking for results that I will never equip you to get. Why would I give you the power to burn a city down? I've come to save lives. You out there trying to destroy them. See, there's a lot of folk preaching division and preaching racism and preaching hate and dividing the body of Christ and dividing the nation and dividing people. And Jesus can't get in on that, because why would he equip somebody to do something he did not send them to do? But if we would unite, if we would love, if we would do what God's called us to do, then God would then equip us, and then we could get some results in this city that would bring him all the glory. That's what the 70 are called to do. Say it out loud. I am the 70. Called, equipped, and sent. Let's stand together. I want to pray over you tonight. Glory to God. Say it again. I am the 70. Called, equipped, and sent. Now I want us to have a word of prayer. I want us to have a word of prayer. And I pray right now in this atmosphere that you and I will make a decision to get in line and in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you need my spirit, if you ask for my spirit, I'm a good father and I give good gifts. He said, look, if you ask for bread, I'm not going to give you a stone. And if you ask for fish, I'm not going to give you a scorpion. So tonight, let's ask him for the voice of his spirit to fill our souls, to fill our minds. Let's ask him right now. Lord, equip me. Bring me into harmony with you. Bring me in line with you. I want to know the truth. I want to hear the truth. I want to be an echo of the truth. I want to say what you say so I can get the results that you get. It's time out for broken man-made religion that's not getting the results because we're not being an echo of the Spirit. Say, Pastor, how do I know whether or not it's an echo of the Spirit? Because it's going to be in line with His Word. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak, they are spirit. His Word and His Spirit are always in alignment. The church has got to start echoing the Spirit. You and I, day to day, listen, it's so important, church, the way you treat people. Are you treating people the way Jesus would treat them? See, wear these 70 t-shirts. Maybe it'll make you accountable. Put on the little 70 rings. Remind yourself every day, I'm representing Jesus. I've got to treat people differently because I need them to see Jesus in me. So I'm going to stop giving folk moods and attitudes and being abrasive and mean-spirited. No, I'm going to bless my enemy and do good to them that curses me because I represent Jesus. And if they reject me, they rejected Him. But if they receive me, they receive Him because I'm representing Him. Let's take the church to the streets, and the streets will come to the church. I promise you that. If we'll take the church to the streets will come to the church. But we've got to walk out of here and live in such a way that people cannot deny that Jesus is in you. Take the kingdom to the people. I got on to a man the other day. I saw him 2 days in a row. And one day he had on a shirt that had scripture all over it. And the next day he was cussing like a sailor. So I asked him about it. I said, man, you wearing that scripture shirt? He said, yeah. I said, you cussing out here today? He said, oh, Pastor, forgive me. I said, no, I don't forgive sin. I said, I'm just letting you know, if you're going to wear the shirt, please line your mouth up because you're going to hurt your witness. Wearing a Jesus shirt and you cuss like a sailor, nobody's going to listen to your mouth. They're going to ignore your shirt and they're going to call you a hypocrite. Folk are tired of folk that go to church. They want to see somebody that's going to be the church. Be the church. Be the church. Be the only Jesus some people may ever see. I'm going to pray right after this question. Do you know somebody in your life that needs Jesus? If so, lift your hand. There is somebody in my life I know needs Jesus. I want you to represent Jesus to that person. You say, well, I've been telling about Jesus for 3 years. Keep telling them about Jesus. But are you being a Jesus? Are you representing Jesus? Are you talking to them like Jesus would talk? Are you loving them like Jesus would love them? Are you becoming an echo of Jesus? See, because if you tell somebody they need Jesus and you're everything but Him, called, equipped, sent. Tonight we're going to walk out of here equipped and sent. I believe already the call is there. I believe you wouldn't be here tonight if you weren't called. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these laborers you've called into your harvest. We come from different backgrounds. We don't look the same. We don't dress the same. We're not the same age. We don't live in the same neighborhoods. But you called us because we're in a unique position to reach people that look like us, live where we live, know our story. God, I pray tonight that you would call the 70. Those watching this live feed, those here in this sanctuary, Lord, call forth the 70. call forward men and women, young and old, boys and girls, that will represent Jesus in the way they treat people, in the way they minister to people, in the way they love people. I hear that, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just gave me something. We can defeat the spirit of racism, but we can't do it by saying God don't see color, because that's not true. God does see color. He made it. He made us uniquely different. He made color. We were fearfully and wonderfully made, made in the image of God. And God's so big, He used many colors to demonstrate how big He is. But every man's made in the image of God. Every man is worthy of respect and honor and dignity. And that's the kind of love that God has for all men. There's not one person that God's looking at saying, I'm going to love you more, love you less because of the color of your skin. He made the color of our skin. He does see color. And we got to stop saying God don't see color. Because when we say that, we're trying to say, I'm not going to see color. You need to see color. You need to see a color and then love that color and love the person that's wearing that color. You need to see it and you need to love yourself right through that. That's what this world out here needs. The 70 represent Jesus. And they can break racism. And they can break all the strongholds. You can break the spirit of racism. You can break the spirit of the hate. You can break the spirit of the enemy. Why? Because you have received power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And there's no hate that has more power than your love. And there is no ignorance that has more power than your knowledge. And there's no foolishness that has more power than your wisdom. And there's no darkness that has more power than your light. And there is no power that can withstand the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, because you've been called and you have been equipped. You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to bow down. You are righteous. Therefore, you are as bold as a lion. You are representatives of the Most High God. You represent His kingdom. Every place you step, His kingdom is there with you. You can take over your neighborhood. You can take over your school. You can take over the workplace. You can take over Shreveport, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil don't want you knowing just how powerful you are. But I'm here to tell you tonight that you have been empowered by on high. You just have to receive it, that you have been equipped. You can live beyond what your purse can provide. You can do beyond what your power will allow, because you've been equipped by the Most High God to do what He's called you to do. And when somebody hears you, they're hearing Him. And when they reject you, they reject Him. If you will just get your life in line with His Spirit and His Word and become the echo of everything that He says. Say it out loud. Called. Equipped. Sent. Called. Equipped. Sent. If you're here, you're watching this live feed, and you've never received Jesus, maybe this is new to you. I want to pray a prayer that I'm going to invite you to pray with me. A prayer for salvation and a prayer for what I've just talked about, being called, equipped, and sent. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge my sin, and I ask that you forgive me, and that you would cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe I am here tonight, hearing this word, not by accident, but by divine appointment, that you wanted me to hear this, because you are calling me out of darkness, out of this world system, out of bondage, out of this world into your kingdom. And right now, I answer the call. And I say, here am I, Lord. You said, come, I'm here. I believe you died for me. I believe you love me. I believe you were raised from the dead. And I believe right now you will save me. Not to a religion, but to a relationship. That I might know you, the only true God, and your son Jesus, whom you have sent. So I ask right now that you fill me with your spirit, that old things be passed away, that all things become brand new, that you order my steps in your word. It may be baby steps, but give me steps to live out the purpose on my life, that I would be the 70, that I would carry your kingdom into every place that I go, that I would represent you, that I would represent Jesus, that I would be an echo of your spirit and your word, that they that hear me would hear you, that they that who see me would see you, that those who receive from me would actually be receiving from you, and those that would reject me actually reject you. Make me that kind of representative. I answer the call. I thank you for equipping me. Now I ask that you send me. In Jesus' name, I'll be your 70. I'll be your 70. In Jesus' name. And the church said, I say it loud one time, I am the 70.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.